Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey. Or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement, and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday edition of Ace on the House.
It's the gentle version of Raymond Oldhoffer.
Subdued.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, but
are you drinking?
I got a cold brew coffee in a can, in a bottle. It looks like a Budweiser old beer, or it looks like an old Pabst Blue Ribbon bottle.
But like a Red Stripe,
but
almost.
I find this iced coffee.
Is there a
cold
sweetener
brew
in there?
Thing. No, it's just.
Can I taste it?
Yeah, if you don't touch your disgusting mouth to
I'm
it.
I'm gonna.
Don't touch it to the.
Really?
No, just pour it in.
Shit all over myself.
Just waterfall it, man.
Yeah, waterfall.
Hey, dude, you got a haircut.
Yeah, I did.
And a beard trim.
I did.
You must be borrowing money.
One of my buddies got married this past weekend, and I was part of the wedding party. And wouldn't you know it, the groom bought all of his groomsmen haircuts and beard trims, or just straight razor shaves.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's highfalutin.
Nice.
Did you catch the bouquet?
No, I didn't.
Again?
I pushed a bunch of girls out of the way, but I just couldn't get there. Couldn't get there.
That's the best scene in all the movies where they have the writing and the girls, like, you know, diving like Lynn Swan for the bouquet, right?
Does that ever really happen?
Yeah.
Do they really go for it?
I think there's symbolic heat to catching the bouquet if you're a single woman.
I think it just dropped to the floor and everybody just look at it.
My thought is that weddings, bachelor parties, etc., very different in your 20s than in your 30s.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like if you get married in your 20s, the bachelor parties are crazy and the girls do go crazy for the bouquet.
That's right.
When you are getting married in your 30s, the bachelor parties are a lot calmer, and most of the women at the wedding are not single. So there's not – I don't even think they did a bouquet toss, to be honest.
They just tossed a canned ham.
Yes. Again, that's why I was pushing girls out of the way. Did I not say that?
I went to four weddings when I turned 50.
And
I went to four weddings.
Of people that were in their 50s or younger folks?
No, they were younger.
Really?
But none of them were outrageous. A couple older, a couple younger. Four. It's crazy.
People get married. People love. People have to love. It's part of the deal, right?
How old were you?
Well, which time?
The second.
Second
the
time.
The one that counts.
Second time I was in the 29 to 30-ish range, I think.
Did you cry?
Like, here's my anniversary is 9/7/96. How's that for easy?
You'll remember.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Yeah.
Did you cry?
Yeah, I did. In the wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so relieved. I found this person. I was like, oh God, thank God. It was more of like, thank God she took me. Oh God, please.
She's great. Yeah. Matt, you cried, right? I was there.
At my wedding?
Yeah, yeah. you teared a little bit. Don't lie.
I didn't.
Really?
No.
Matt,
it was a great, I was just very in the moment the whole time.
Yeah,
I
you were.
I didn't cry at all.
It was a great wedding.
Kaylin, did you cry at Matt's wedding?
Oh, I was bawling. Bawling.
Were you here then?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay.
Kaylin actually stood up to object. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Object! Anybody's kidding.
This ain't going to work
Kaylin,
out.
Sit down,
no.
Buddy. It's okay.
Along with your father. No, I'm
kidding. Hey, can I just say to please support our show at Ace on the House? Thank you for supporting our show, obviously. Visit us at aceontheroof.com. Click the PayPal button to subscribe. Click through the Amazon link. Twitter at Ace on the House. Facebook.com at /Ace on the House. Follow Ray at Ray Oldhoffer. Follow Eric at Eric Stromer.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter. And, of course, the dot-coms of the world, ericstromer.com. And email us your video questions, rate us 5 stars on iTunes, and leave a comment.
Matt, can we help anyone with wedding advice?
With wedding advice?
Sure. Well, why not?
If we got Gary back here in the building, we probably could
do
that.
Oh, wait, that's happening soon, right? Oh, it's going to be good.
That's going to be a fucking debacle.
Ray, what happened? So, Ray, you told me about your eyes. They were dilated before you came on the air. What happened? That was yesterday.
Yeah. I had to go get my – I have onset glaucoma.
Ooh. Sounds like someone's going to be smoking to pot.
But you know what? I'm not buying it because I remember in my 30s and my 20s, I had to get checked and I had really high pressure.
Yeah.
So I just think I have high pressure eyeballs.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying anyway.
Yeah.
But they say, no, that's not right. You have, you know, glaucoma.
What's the prognosis down
the
road?
Well, you do that peripheral eye check, you know, your vision from the peripheral, because a glaucoma does this kind of thing where you close, you get myopic. Yeah. You go, but I don't have that, you know, because they checked me yesterday for my levels and all that. I was good. And then they dilated my eyes and sent me on my way. And so when you get in the car, anything white or anything bright, forget it. Look at it, man. It's like, whoa!
Did you have to wear sunglasses?
I forgot them.
Oh, so you're just really light sensitive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, it was
Can you see me right now?
Huh? I can't see or hear you. Things are going great.
Did they dilate your ears also?
What? No, I'm all right.
Hey, have any of you guys had the check?
They're too young. Colonoscopy.
I have, yeah.
Because that's for fun for Matt.
I've been putting it off, man. I got to go.
Yeah.
You did it?
You should, man.
How was it?
Very uncomfortable.
Really?
Very uncomfortable.
Wait, what was your thing?
We don't need to get into it. Well,
obviously, we do. You're way too young.
You're okay, though, right?
I'm totally fine. Yeah.
Do you recommend it with all flying colors?
Being careful.
I mean, yes, I would recommend for your own health and safety.
Wait, what do you mean be careful? What do you mean be careful? Are there people that aren't careful doing it?
Yeah, some people are like, no. People are too eked out by it, so they don't get
their prostate.
Right, and then they're blowing blood mud, and then they're dead.
There you go.
Do you have blood mud?
No, hell no.
All right, then go get it checked. Then. Matt, did you have blood mud?
No.
What did you have?
Blood mud.
What fucking show is this, man?
This is blood mud.
Hey, it's we wedding.
Someone's on the line.
Hold on, Matt. Hey, what was wrong?
What do we got? Let's go to Matt in Portland, obviously.
I'm not touching any button.
Come on, do it. Do it.
Hello?
Hi.
Matt, what's wrong with Matt?
Are you guys seriously talking about colonoscopies? Yeah. I have one scheduled in like 5 hours.
Okay. Are you serious?
Can Eric join you?
I am dead serious. I'm actually doing the bowel prep, drinking the Gavilite.
How are you feeling? Is it terrible, or what are you doing? What's going on? Just walk me through it, because I got to do it.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Wait, you're only 37, Matt. What's up? You don't get it until you're 50.
It's a long story. I've had diverticulitis a couple times.
Yeah.
And they say that I'm at high risk for colon cancer, so they want to. I want to do a colonoscopy now.
Right.
Hey, it's ironic that you're calling about a mud room.
Because I have made a lot of mud in that room. Yeah.
You're in your mud room right now. I can hear it with the echoing.
Up to the ankles.
Oh. Wow.
So this is exciting because we get to talk to you in your mudroom about your mudroom as you're utilizing your mudroom. Thank you.
This is full circle stuff.
Synchronicity.
Do you get drugged up before you do it? Do they put you out or you just take it like a man?
They put you on the Michael Jackson sedative.
Ooh.
Oh, the propofol.
Yeah, propofol. What is it? No.
Propofol?
No.
Bet? Wager?
Stop saying propofol.
Propofol.
Stop saying propofol.
What is it? Matt, look it up. It's propofol.
It's not that. It's prop of something.
Propofol.
Not propice.
I think it's propofol, isn't it?
No, propofol.
Stop saying propofol.
Why?
Because it's not it.
Mud room. Mud room.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
Toy boat.
All right, let's talk about your mudroom. What's going on? You want to remove a closet?
Yeah, there's a closet built into this corner of the mudroom. The door is maybe, it's really small, it's like 14-inch door, and we're stepping around laundry baskets. So I looked at it one day, and I said, why couldn't I just cut this out and just knock it all out, put up some drywall at the mudroom so I don't need it to be perfect looking?
Thank you.
The only thing I can think of that it would be structural is there is a bathtub directly above it. Would they put this structure here for a bathtub, or could you
a closet's very, very, very rarely that's not going to be bearing.
No.
You know, and you can, is it drywalled, Matt?
Yeah.
Or what's it clad with, like wood, drywall?
It's drywall, yeah.
Go inside of it, right? Go to the top where it meets the lid, mm-hmm. take out a chunk. And then if you have a double top plate that's sitting on the, and then check out how the rafters are running, and then that'll tell you right then and there if it's bearing or not. And I'm telling you right now, it's not. I think you should do it before you get your colonoscopy.
Walk him through that again, because that's a really good indicator. It's good for people to understand that. So the double top plate.
Right. Generally, the double top plate sitting on your rafters, and then you can see that which way your rafters are running. Which you probably can't. You probably have to put a hole in the lid then. But you can tell. You can really look at something and know which way it's running.
Right, right.
And then if it's sitting on the rafters, just knock it out. Cut it.
Okay.
You know, cut it along the seam. Take it out surgically, like you're going to be doing. They're going to be taking other stuff out.
I'm so
surgically.
I don't know if I'm flattered or horrified that you called us while you're preparing for your colonoscopy.
I'm sitting here running through Twitter. I see the tweet that says call now. I'm like, oh, I'll just call right now. Cool.
Yeah, we're very happy that we could be your last voice before you go under the hose.
Hey, Matt,
that's on me, guys. I tweeted out and said call in with your colonoscopy question. So I apologize.
Well, hold on, Matt. Do you guys have something in common? What he speaks of, the by the way, propofol, right?
Yeah, it was propofol with an F.
Propofol. Well, the way I pronounce my TH and my Fs are kind of, because I have a speech impediment.
It's like bathroom.
Bathroom. Bathroom. I need to go bathroom. Hey, good luck today.
Good luck, man. Have fun. Call us and let us know how it goes.
Hey, will you send some pictures? Not of the colonoscopy, but of the closet. That you will be getting into later.
All right,
Yeah. I don't want to see the other thing. No. Yeah. No good for us.
All right.
Good luck.
Good luck, Mud.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck, Mud. Yeah. You called the Mud. Let's fuck that.
Hey, line Trace in Los Angeles.
Hey, Al.
Hey.
Hi, Al.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
What's
man?
Happening?
So I got this new house here. We've been living in it about 6 months since it was built, and we got this sewer shit smell in it. And, I can't explain this. It's coming from the laundry room and one of the kids' bathrooms, like one of the sinks. Had the builder out here. He says it's the kid's toothpaste in the sink getting caught in the trap.
What? That's bullshit. That's completely false.
Wait, is it clogged?
No. And so we pulled the trap out. Yeah. The thing under the sink, the U-shaped thing, and it had some stuff that smelled really bad in it.
Yeah,
and cleaned it out, dumped a bunch of bleach, and it smells better. But it's back in like a week.
Yeah,
but it's also in the laundry room, and it's not in any of the other sinks in the bathroom.
So you're getting sewer gas coming up in those. Like for example, in the laundry room, it's a straight shot generally. You know, and unless there's a trap put in there, then you're going
to
get the gas coming. There's going
to
be gas coming up, and you'll smell.
Trapping the wall.
You're not on septic, right?
No. We're on a sewer here, and they claim that there's a trap in the wall.
And have you?
There has to be.
There has to be. If there's not, then that's exactly what it is. But I would check in the wall because maybe the builders didn't do it.
And it's a new house, Al?
A brand new house, and they even ran the cam down. He brought the fiber optic camera thing and ran it down.
How many feet? Because if he's going through an inch and a half, 2-inch line, he ain't going that far.
Yeah, he ran it down to to where it meets the line on the side of the house.
And did he bypass the trap when he ran the camera, or did you see it go through the trap?
I didn't. honestly didn't even see it. I wasn't there when he ran the camera. He just said he did, and everything looked good. The whole thing sounds
fishy. It sounds smelly.
Yeah. Like total crap. It's so strong. And here's the weird thing. It's way worse on hot days.
Huh.
Yeah, something's going on. I mean, Adam figured out his, that it wound up being the wax seal, you know, where it separated and it came up from there.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the, under the toilet was the gas was coming up that way. Oh, okay.
You see it in the seal. But this one.
Yeah, maybe check the toilet. That's a good point. Check your toilet seal
in
that
room.
Yeah,
you sure it's the sink? Yeah. You put your nose up to the sink and it's from the sink?
Yeah, you can. The toilet doesn't smell at all. You can smell it, and it's only in. I got the twin sinks in the kids' bathrooms, and the younger kid, his sink doesn't stink. It's the older one. It's the 5-year-old.
And is it a collection of houses that were all built at the same time by a developer?
No, it was a street where a bunch of different builders built houses. And this guy is supposed to be the best in the area, and generally we've been super happy with everything.
Yeah.
But the plumbing was done by a subcontractor, and they've been out here 5 times, and they just keep saying, "Oh, it's the, you know, it's you're dumping something in your laundry, and that's making it stink, and it's your kid with the toothpaste."
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
I don't buy that at all. It sounds to me like the next step for me would be to have you bring out another plumber to run a camera and make sure there are traps in both the laundry room and the kids' bathroom, which you can obviously already see that one. But the laundry room sounds to me like that could be where they blew it.
And then also the dirty arm, like when it goes through the trap, there's a dirty arm, which that's what it's called because it accumulates dirt, and it's flat. Well, it's not really flat. It's supposed to go to the down pipe. And maybe that's filled with stuff. And it's working its way through. But I don't understand it's working its way through the trap, because if the trap's full, you shouldn't get any smell. Unless there's a overflow for the sink, you know, the sink will overflow.
Yeah.
Stick your nose in there. Maybe there's something in there. Like maybe there's some mildew or something in there, and spray something down that.
Yeah.
Because you have some, the vents. Go up on the roof and see if it's vented properly.
We'll check that one, too. Yeah,
that's already been done?
Yeah. And it's been checked. And I can tell you, like, we cleaned the little loop out underneath the sink, and we cleaned that thing. I made sure it was clean. Then I dumped a bunch of bleach, and the smell was back 3 weeks later. So it's just, and it's definitely, you put your nose in that sink and you just want to draw it away.
What about neighbors? Do neighbors have any of the same things going on in their homes?
My next door, we only have one neighbor. The other lots are still kind of being built, but my next door neighbor does not have the problem. And, you know, we have 5 sinks, 6 sinks in this house.
And only two of them. Only one does this.
Yeah, only one.
I'd rip it apart. That would drive me nuts, by the way. And by the way, I'd call that plumber and get the plumber there.
I would get an independent plumber that's not related to the subcontractor, though.
That's a good idea.
Man. In this small town, you never know. Yeah,
are you in L.A.?
I'm worried that someone's... What?
Are you in L.A.?
No, I'm not in L.A.
Okay, so your name's Adam. I don't see that call up here, fellas.
Yeah, it's kind of a confusing situation. To make a long story short, Ray, you grabbed a call that we never screened.
It turned out to be a good call.
You wanted originally to talk to Paul, and he is still on the line waiting for you to take his call.
Okay.
Finish
all right,
this one
guys.
First.
All right, guys.
So give that a shot with an independent plumber to run a cam, or I would even go as far as to say demo that sink out and start over and see if that does anything.
And you know what? Get a baking powder or baking soda.
Or white vinegar, too.
And white vinegar.
There you go.
And then, throw that down there
Throw that down the overflow, too.
Yeah.
I dumped a bunch of bleach down there, but I guess I'll just...
Don't use the bleach in too good. Don't do that anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's not, you don't want to put that in.
But it upsets the beasties down there. All right.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Good luck, man.
Thanks a bunch.
Good luck. Let us know what happens.
That would drive me
nuts. Okay, see you guys.
All right,
see you.
Let's go to Adam in St. Louis, 34.
Okay.
Is that what you got?
All right, yeah. That's fine with me. Hey, Adam.
Adam?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. I got a bar down in my basement, and it's the base of it is those glass blocks set together with mortar. So it's real good, solid base. However, just dated and ugly looking. I have a nice piece of granite on top, and I'm wondering what I can do with that base, maybe cover it in some kind of a faux stone, and how would I go about doing that?
On the glass block?
Yes.
You could just thin set anything onto the glass block and it'll adhere.
But you got to have acrylic admix in it,
put
in the thin set.
Yeah. But it'll stick. It'll stick to it.
It'll also stick to the grout joints, too. A little extra special good, but it'll stick to the glass for sure, yeah.
Okay, that was
you don't even have to worry about it. And by the way, don't scuff up the glass or get it, you know. You got enough grout joint there. How big's your stone?
I have not gotten stone yet, so I was kind of looking for suggestions on what should I do for that as well.
So what's the top again? It's granite looking? Or?
Yeah, granite on top.
Why do you just want to do drywall down on the bottom?
Or
box it out? You could do that too, and then, you know, just paint it, and then have the top be the thing. Because if you get too many elements in there, that's kind of probably why your glass is bugging you, because it's a second element. You don't really need that. It's like we're not trying to feature your base on your, you know, your
bar.
Table. You know, who cares?
That's actually a good point. It's kind of a nice piece of honed black granite, so it's like kind of, you know, extra expensive. So I wouldn't mind showcasing that. So yeah, I like the boxing out.
Yeah, box it out or put beadboard underneath it. You know, or build a little foot area like they have in bars where you can have your feet resting on something. Plus, then you've got the, you know, drywall on the top.
You know, so what I did with a bar? I wrapped it with cork.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. With cork, you can get cork at 12 by 12 cork and just slap them on there. You can even glue them onto the glass block.
Question about blocking it off. If I am going to do drywall, how do I set the, like, the 2x4s? You know, how do I adhere them basically to make the box?
You could either. What's the floor made out of?
It's just carpet. It's a basement floor, so I think it's carpet on top of concrete.
On top of concrete, yeah.
Lay a 2x4 flat, Eric, and just tap con it in through the grout joint.
You could even probably glue it. If you pre-build a frame,
yeah, you could,
exactly.
Yeah.
To so it's so tight that you got to kind of, you know, pressure fit it with some you know, liquid nails or some kind of adhesive, and do that. And just, you know, glue four of those around the base of it, right? Essentially, so that you have something to screw into with your drywall.
Right.
I think that'd be fine. Because
it's not
structural. All it is just a whole drywall.
Right. Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
You could probably even get away. I do 2x material, though. So you have.
Yeah,
you
know, lay it flat.
Lay it flat.
And then use, you know, half-inch drywall with 3/4 screws, 1-inch screws, so you don't go all the way through and hit the block. You don't want to do
right
that.
On top of the right on top of the carpet, or should I pull that carpet back?
Depends if you're going to change it.
Yeah.
Are you going to ever change the carpet?
Yeah.
Then I would cut it back at least. You know, use a straight edge to where it will. The wall will ultimately be ending. Straight edge and cut that out with a knife, utility knife, and go right to the concrete floor.
Good idea.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Set it flat. Yeah, and then, you know, it's not going to. It won't pull up. You know, you have to take that tack strip then and move it out a little bit, and then take the head of your hammer and run your head of the hammer over there so it sticks. It might get a little dicey with the carpet where you're gonna, you know, maybe mess it up.
And if you don't want to listen, you don't have to take the carpet out either. It's just when you replace the carpet, you'll just cut it at your new wall, which is fine also. So, you know, it's fine. If you pressure fit it, the carpet doesn't matter either.
You'll be good. You got this?
Got
by the way, send pictures,
send a picture
people.
Of
like,
this.
We like looking at this stuff.
This is going to be cool. I want to see this.
Yeah, and I want to see what kind of glass block do you have. Is it Decora or View? Which one?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. It's
Essex.
You know, you can't see straight through it, but, you know, it's probably
wavy.
6x6.
No, is
it wavy?
Okay, that's Decora. Yeah.
That's even better for adhering for the thin set.
Yeah.
It's good. Hey, the other thing
is... Yeah, I mean, it's a great base, you know, real solid, so I didn't want to, you know, totally
redo
that part.
Don't mess it up.
Part,
so no way.
Don't forget, if you have this new bar, you know, the base that you create with the drywall, right?
Yeah.
If you build a secondary little step for your feet or a rail, make sure that you paint that base with either semi-gloss or eggshell, or put a piece of sheet metal, you know, so when your feet are up, they're not kicking the drywall and marking it or denting it, right, when you get crazy with your raucous parties. So just do something that you know, gives you the ability to clean it if you need to.
Or if you're with the other poor dude and has to get a colonoscopy today.
Yeah, we just had a colonoscopy call. I think it was our first colonoscopy call ever. By the way,
this could be a weekly
This could be our new show.
Hey, good luck, man. Adam, you can do it.
I appreciate it, guys.
You got it.
All right, bud.
Thank you.
Hey, let's try Al. He's got some termite issues.
Al.
Yeah, we moved from New York in 2010 to the coast in California. What we found out
is this
you got
your real
more
voice?
Termites. You got more termites in California than you got grains of sand on the beach.
Yeah, that's right.
You're good. Go ahead, Al.
So what we did, we bought at the bottom of the market, we bought what they call a teardown, which is these old houses they built in the 20s and 30s, like 900, 1,000 square feet on a 6,000 square foot lot. They like a postage stamp house on a big piece of land. So we're tearing it down. We're building a new house. We're renting a house while we're building the house. And the contractor tells us you're better off building the cedar wood closet because it's going to keep the bugs out. So we build that. And then they're building all these houses around us with these redwood fences. Well, what we find out is the termites, they love redwood like bears love honey. And then we've had to tent our house three times since 2010 because of the termites. And the last contractor said that the wood was half decimated. And we're thinking, you know what, in a big earthquake, the whole thing might come down like a house of cards. So we're thinking maybe we should just tear the whole thing down and build the whole house out of cedar wood. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you. So I just dealt with a house up in Pacific Palisades, which is a nice area. The house is very, very new. It's only built in the 80s. They covered the original siding with new siding. And the whole thing underneath the new siding is like, you know, sand. There's so much termite
infesting.
So it can get kind of crazy fast, right? So to your point, I don't know, man. It feels to me like is the framing undermined or is it just the siding that's kind of going down?
I think he's talking about his fence, too.
Yeah, the whole frame of the house, you know, being right on the coast, the termites eat the whole thing. The only thing they didn't eat was the master bedroom closet, which was made out of cedar wood.
Yeah. I think if you got the budget, I'd redo the house, absolutely. And it just feels to me like before you build again, you want to get the, you know, get that soil, get all those nests out of there and you know, have people come out and put all those, you know, the stakes in and kill the termites. Start over if you can do
it. Can't you treat it with that orange oil too?
Yeah, but it's you know it all. They come back. It's crazy, man. They're tenacious. You know, they love the wood.
It's crazy.
It's too late for that because they've eaten it halfway through.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you got a butt,
does your insurance cover this?
You know what they say you got to be specific on that. They say it doesn't cover bugs like that.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, I'm appalled. Eric knows what to do, though. Eric, take it.
Al, if I were you, I'd build a house again. But you don't have to use any special material. You can use new wood, but just make sure you get the old stuff out of the property and start over.
Now, with treated lumber, they don't go for that, right? I mean, I thought redwood was kind of anti-cedar, like, I didn't think termites liked it.
They don't.
No, they love redwood. Redwood, they love.
I know that.
They don't as much as they, I mean, as far as I've seen it, not as much. They don't like it as much as crap that you're buying at the big box store now, which I've actually brought in lumber from, you know, one of the big box stores, and it's already has termites in it. And I
wow,
like that's how fucked up it is right now out there. So hey, yeah,
I wish we'd known that this whole city is nothing but termites. That's like a multi-billion-dollar business, and I'm wondering. Some of these contractors, they may be running their own termite company. I don't know.
They're doubling down.
Yeah, that's right.
They pull up in two trucks. Here, we're here to build, and we're here to fumigate.
So even after tenting, none of it has ever been rectified.
You know, I've always wondered if after they do the tenting, they actually put some eggs underneath the house. I've wondered.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. But I tell you, so you're in a wet area, like on the coast? Because is that what you're saying?
Santa Monica.
Yeah, it's exactly where this house I just worked on, man. I couldn't believe it. It was encapsulated in new siding, but everything underneath was completely undermined and termite infested.
And so you had the house demoed. So you had like a 1,000 square foot house demoed off your lot, and then how many? What kind of square feet do you have now?
Yeah, we put it up to 3,200.
Holy Hidgen, that's a big house.
Yeah.
That is a big house. Al, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I feel badly for you, but Eric,
well,
you have way more experience than I do.
We want to be here for the long run, and it's just we got to look at the big picture, and I think we just got to make the whole thing cedarwood. I know for a fact they will not eat cedarwood, and we're just going to build the whole frame cedarwood and just put it behind us. We're never going to need tenting again.
Yeah, or steel studs. I mean, that's the other way. Do that.
Steel too.
Yeah.
You know, don't do, I mean, see, I don't know if you're, are they going to allow you to frame with cedar? I don't think so.
I don't know.
It's going to have to be a combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But they do a lot of steel, especially if it's a two-story house, right?
Yeah.
Modern, or what'd you go? What kind of style?
Well, we did it like a Cape Cod.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right. Well, do another one. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, that's
we
tough.
We will.
It's tough.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the input.
Hey, can you send pictures, please, Al? Appreciate that.
Yeah. I didn't get a picture. They took, you know, they go in with the picture. They go in the dark down in the frame, and they took a picture of the piece of wood, like a 2x4 that was all eaten out, you know.
That's crazy.
But all you're going to see is just a piece of wood that's half eaten by termites. You can see that anywhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Al, good luck. And I'm sorry to hear this story. I really
am.
Thank you. See
you.
Right.
Good luck, buddy. I like Al.
I like him too.
When the guys talk like that, you just want to, you know, you just figure.
And
that,
you feel badly, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible.
Did
man.
You build a whole house and then 2010, and now we're at what 2000? What year is it?
And a lot of the contractors don't. They'll just get like what happened with my experience, man. This guy just encapsulated a bad situation, so he didn't have to stop working.
Right.
You know
just
what
to
I mean?
Get out.
Just to get the siding up, move on. And like I was trying to repair a window, and there was nothing to screw off into.
You bury your
screw, and it
You're
just disintegrates. It's like air, exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's terrible. And then you know you open up the wall.
And
it's
all
like,
termite, no dry rot.
All termite, just gone. Like
that
it when it
nuts.
Goes, it goes. It's crazy. And you know they got these insane extensive nests underground, right? Which are you know like an ant farm when you look at those. The profile view of the window of the ant farm.
Right.
It's
Except
like
it's underground.
It's totally really, underground, right? So you'd have to literally.
So it's like an iceberg.
Totally.
That's nutty.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
crazy.
I wonder how long it takes to demo through a house.
Oh, man. I think this one, from what I saw, it was, you know, 5 years, 6 years, and this thing was
done.
Just, you know, gone.
But I thought termites can't make their way up. Like the wood has to be sitting on ground.
Yeah, but it comes up from the ground and works its way up.
Right, but if you have like a footing around, they're not making their way concrete to the wood.
That's not what I saw.
Really?
No, hell no. It was almost like they bypassed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they just they ventured up, like Everest, whatever.
Yeah.
They're going.
They're in, they're going, it's over.
Wow.
You
That's
know?
A nightmare.
And then you say to the owner, like, you know, hey, we got to redo. And he's like, hell no, you know, just cover it up again. It's okay.
All right.
So screw into air. Awesome.
Not fun.
No.
Matt, we have anything else?
Yeah, let's do a video question. We got one. And please email us your videos and your pictures, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. That's our email address. Follow us on Twitter @aceonthehouse and go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see the videos.
Yeah.
Heyo. This one's from Dave in North Hollywood.
Hey guys, I gotta re-stucco this with as least steps as possible. Let's see what's going on. I buckled away from the building.
Yeah, but he redid his pants. Oh boy.
Oi.
And big holes. So I gotta re-stucco this. Want to know the best process, best products. Thank you.
Out a panel, and he's got a bunch of just open framing with lath that's exposed and paper that's not there. Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to bust the stucco out to the next series of framing members because it can't just be waving around because you got to have a place to screw and
nail off
your new paper and lath too. And then you got to do three or four coats of scratch. And
you
got
to do scratch, brown, and finish.
Yeah.
And you got the texture of it's easy to match, and then you got to paint it. But what you got to do, also you need the double paper behind it. You need to have that for moisture. And then he's got button board on the other side, so you're dealing with a 40s house, 38, something
God,
like
I
that.
God, I would just hire a stucco guy, man.
You know, yeah.
It seems like, you know, if they give you a bid for $1,500, it seems like way too much. But do you want to do this for the next week and a half of your time trying to figure out how to make this look better? I don't think so.
And if you want to do it, excuse me, you got to take an angle grinder and cut it out. And then you cut it, but don't cut it for the full depth because you need some of the paper and you need some of the lath, the expanded metal, right? So you're going to have to hit it out with a hammer. You don't want any joint to be smooth
straight.
Line. It has to be jagged so it'll match.
So you're taking the claw into your hammer and shallow whacking the edges so that it's like, you know, flaking off uneven.
And then unfortunately where you had your panel done, you have to go all the way. He has a panel there that he had redone. It looks like he went up to like 200 amp or whatever he did. And you're going to have to go all the way to the window on that left-hand side. And then if you go back on that video, you got a lot of work to do.
Listen, to me, unless you want to learn how to stucco for
future. And see
future,
how there's holes in that paper, Eric?
Yeah, you got to redo it.
You can pull that part up and then lap that paper, push that paper all the way up and sit it flat, staple it down, and then use that lath again.
That's a 5-day job for you. It's 5 days.
And the texture you have is called knockdown. That's where it's like sprayed on, and that, you know, you spray on that texture and then you knock it down with a trowel a little bit.
Right.
That's where everybody has that one.
And it's difficult to match it by hand.
Color wise, they ain't gonna match it.
Color wise, you're not
gonna match it.
Now the other option, if you want, the other option would be to. You could do backer board, right?
Or dense glass. You could get dense glass and throw it on there and just do a finish coat, but I wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't either.
You got to match. It won't match.
Won't match at all. No. It'll just look like you put a patch in there.
Yeah. You got to go the stucco route.
Go the stucco route. So the stucco route is you cut it out more, expose your framing members so you know where to nail your paper and your lath, right? And then you mix up a batch of stucco and you trowel it on there.
Do type S. First two coats, brown and scratch. Scratch and brown, do type S, and then get finished.
And by scratch and brown, it means the first coat you put on, you let it set up, then you scratch little grooves in it so that it'll hold the next coat, right? And then you do it again, and then you do it a third time, and that's where you start to match your texture, and that's an experimentation with a float where you've got a sponge on it with some water, and you're trying to figure out how am I going to get this. The way they did is to Ray's point, they spray it through a hose, it splats on the wall, gives you this texture, and then they knock it down with the sponge so that it looks kind of flat and even, but it's still textured.
You're going to do it like in two, and then the finished coat, you're going to get like La Habra or a finished stucco. You're not going to use the Type S or a stucco mix. You're going to get a finished stucco.
And they have
stucco.
That in colors. You'll take a chunk to the stucco store.
Which is probably painted though, right?
It might be painted or it might be a traditional color that you could match, and they'll give you the top coat that is the right
color.
They'll
give you the box to mix it with.
Yeah,
and they'll tell you if it's a base 100 or a base 200, which is going to be a color variation depending on what color you get.
So it's an easy 5 days of time for you, or
it's 2 days for guys who know what they're doing.
2 days for guys who know what they're doing, and they're charging you probably 12. That's probably $1,200, right?
Yeah, why not?
Or a little bit less.
Yeah, it's not going to be that hard.
8 to 12 if you pay somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd go for that.
Yeah. All right. There
unless
it is.
I come out there, then I'm going to go, listen, I don't care. No, I'm not going to do that. It's in North Hollywood. It's local.
Yeah.
We can go check them out.
Yeah, okay.
Talk them through it.
Yeah.
Do a little vitty.
Yes!
Huh?
Yeah.
There we go.
If
what's up with those headphones? Those are highfalutin.
Oh, these are my wireless headphones. I use them to talk on the phone. I also use them to listen to the Musica.
Yeah?
And I love them.
Are they like custom fit?
And here's the main thing I use them for at night when I want to watch the Netflix in the bed with the missus sleeping next to me, you know, and I want to watch some quality program and not wake her up. This is what I do.
You zone out with that?
Yeah.
You fall asleep with
them? Ozark?
I did.
Wasn't that fantastic?
Yeah. God, I did. You know what? Did I see the last one? I don't know if I saw the last one.
The last one's fantastic. Great show.
Yeah, really good.
Really fun
I love
show.
That guy.
I do too.
Jason Bateman.
Great. Yeah.
He's the EP on it too.
I did a short film years ago that went to Sundance, and we used Justine Bateman in it. She was fantastic. She was great.
Yeah.
Loved her.
And she had the bigger career like at the beginning.
Yeah.
And now he's just got
He's blown up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both great though.
And he's been in it for how long now?
Like, 300 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's it.
That's a great career.
Kalen, we just wanted to say hi and wanted to find out how your mom in England's doing.
She's doing good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, she's doing good.
Has she ever had a colonoscopy?
No.
Just ask. Sorry,
okay.
Kayla.
That's okay.
Kayla, don't make eye contact right now. It's weird.
Maddie Fondelier, love your work.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for doing your thing. And we'll look forward to seeing everybody. Don't forget to follow us at Ace on the House. Thank you for supporting our show. Visit aceontheroof.com. Click the PayPal button. Do subscribe. Amazon link. Click through it. Ace on the House. Facebook.com. Ace on the House. And also Ray and Eric at the Twitter.
Yes, sir. With that said, nice job, Eric. Let me touch you. Bye now.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.